Is it possible to study Buddhism without committing to one formal tradition? I feel it is a form of attachment to claim one tradition is better than the other. Well, I asked a question like this of my Abhidhamma teacher once, and I asked him, what defilement is this sort of judgment, where you say one thing is better than another? And he wouldn't accept that it was a defilement. It made me start to think that actually, you know, he's right. He said, because you can judge things based on wisdom. So, I'm not trying to deny or answer your claim at all, but it's important to understand. It's important to understand what we mean when we say one thing is better than another. Because certain two traditions could be, what one tradition could be better than the other. For example, if some Buddhist tradition, claiming to be a Buddhist tradition, teaches you to kill other people and steal and lie and cheat and take drugs and alcohol, then I would say that's an inferior tradition. And of course, this is my opinion. Other people might say it's a superior tradition. But, you know, I mean, that's just an example to point out that it is certainly, I think, objectively possible to say that one thing is better than another. And we have to be clear that Buddhism and what we call postmodernism do not always jive with each other. Postmodernism is where you can, you know, anything can be true depending on the context. And it's sort of become a very important part of global society, modern society, to the extent that whenever anyone says that this is better than that, or this is true, objectively true, and this is objectively false, and so on and so on, then they become a subject of ridicule and aversion and so on. People don't like to hear this, that something could possibly be better than something else. So that being said, I don't think anyone would say that any good Buddhist teacher would have strong feelings that one Buddhist tradition of the big Buddhist tradition, the major Buddhist traditions, is better than the other. I was just thinking about this today, actually. It's quite misleading to say this tradition or that tradition in terms of the big traditions, like I follow Theravada, you follow Zen, you follow Mahayana, and so on. What is important is to talk about a teaching tradition. And these exist in Buddhism on a different level from the major traditions. So in the Mahayana tradition or whatever, it actually goes a lot according to country, I think, than it does according to school, because every country calls their school a little bit differently. Now, that's not exactly true, but you know, the Tibetans have their group, and the Chinese have their group, and the Japanese have their group, and they're fairly distinct. Theravada is fairly ubiquitous across various countries, but what you'll find in any of these groups is a incredible diversity of teachings from different teachers. There are Tibetan Buddhist teachers who teach very similar to what I teach. What we practice here, what my teacher teaches. And there are Theravada Buddhists who teach things very, very much different from what we teach here. So, to that end, I think you have to even go further. If you really want to progress, you have to go even further than picking a tradition, like I'm Mahayana, I'm Theravada. And you can kind of avoid that, actually, because it's misleading and it's a cause only for argument, really. pointless and endless argument, because it's meaningless. You know, I'm Mahayana, I'm Theravada, and so on. What's important is, what are the teachings you follow? Which teacher do you follow, and what are their teachings? You know, I say, I follow the Buddha. Well, what are the teachings of the Buddha? Well, I have this canon of teachings, and I follow that. And I interpret them in this way, in this way, in this way. Or I understand them in this way, in this way, in this way. And that's, for instance, our meditation tradition, based on the understanding of the Mahasi Sayadaw and that part of the Buddhist teaching that he felt was important and sufficient to give people understanding and freedom from suffering. So I think you have to pick something like that if you really want to gain progress. You don't have to identify yourself. I think it is a form of attachment to identify yourself as this form of Buddhist or that form of Buddhist. I think what we do instead is think of what we do as Buddhism. And I don't think there's any problem with that, really. I don't think that has to be an attachment. And I don't think that's dangerous. If you say, you know, I follow the Mahasi Sayadaw's teaching, and to me that's Buddhism. Or I follow the teachings of, I follow the teachings of the Pali Canon, and with an emphasis on the interpretation, the understanding, and the instructions of Mahasi Sayadaw, and to me that's Buddhism. So in this way I accept many other practices that exist in the Pali Canon that are not taught by the Mahasi Sayadaw, but I just don't practice them. But it's still part of Buddhism for me. But that's my Buddhism. And I would say every tradition, and by tradition here I mean not the major traditions, but every group, like the Goenka tradition, for example, it's Theravada, but they have a different tradition. They, I would say, do the same thing. Now, if it becomes an identification, like, I'm a Goenka meditator, and Goenka is better than Mahasi, or the other way around, I'm a Mahasi meditator and Mahasi's teaching is better than Goenka's. As I said, it's not necessarily wrong to think one thing is better than another, but what's actually going on there, obviously, is conceit, right? Because you put them together and you get this conceit that I'm better than you. And that's wrong. Comparing oneself to others is wrong, because it's based on the idea of a self. It's based on the idea of an entity. So to that extent, I suppose you could fall into a similar sort of defilement and delusion, thinking that Mahayana is something or Theravada is something, and I am a Theravada Buddhism, and identifying yourself. Then it becomes conceit as well, when you identify yourself as being something and thinking it's better. This is what happens when people identify with countries. This is what happens when people identify themselves with Buddhism. You know, I'm a Theravada Buddhist, but I drink alcohol and, you know, kill mosquitoes and lie and cheat and so on. That sort of thing. Where, you know, I'm not that sort of person, but some people are, claim themselves to be Theravada Buddhists and don't follow the teachings. And that can be a problem, because then it becomes this identity. But it's I would say always to do with the self and the individual, as opposed to making a judgment as to which is better or which is worse. Because it's, I think, clearly possible that a meditation tradition, one meditation tradition, could be better than another. They may all be exactly the same. They may all be just exactly as beneficial as the others. But it's probably more likely the case that certain traditions work better for certain people, and some traditions may work better for a greater number of people. Some traditions may only work for a very small portion of people. Some traditions even claim that. There are meditation and monastic traditions that don't propagate their teachings because they believe that their teachings are very difficult to practice and only for a select few, and so on. So finally, to answer your question, or the first part, possible to study Buddhism without committing to one formal tradition? Possible. Certainly possible to study and practice, but the problems, based sort of on what I've said, and the problems are that you become too broad-based. No? So instead of focusing your efforts on one specific meditation practice that you find suitable for yourself, it's very easy to get off track. I mean, the whole idea behind our understanding of Buddhism, of the Buddhist teaching, is that we need a teacher. And so if you're not following a teacher, you say you're following Buddhism, so this would mean that you're trying to follow the Buddha's teaching, but unless you have a broad grasp of one set of texts that claim to be the Buddha's teaching or the teachings of Buddhism, then you're quite likely to, you know, first of all, if you don't have that, you're quite likely to create something of your own that's totally outside of the Buddha's teaching, because you're not a Buddha yet. So more than likely to get off track and get onto some dead-end teaching. If you have a knowledge of many different sets of the Buddha's teaching and try to mix and match, then you end up with Frankenstein, no? You end up with body parts everywhere. You don't end up with a solid whole, because the traditions have formed because they work, and they have gelled, and they have created some, they've become institutional because that institution has a benefit or leads to a certain result. And finally, even if you pick one tradition and read only the texts of that tradition, like say you read the Pali Canon and you say I'm following the Buddha, but I'm not going to follow the commentarial interpretation or the interpretations of this group or that group, then you still have a bit of a problem, because you're putting yourself in the position of creating a new interpretation of the Buddha's teaching or your own idea of what it is that the Buddha taught. And if you feel up to that task, then well, you have a lot of work to do, and you have to do a lot of studying. I mean, considering the context of the Buddha's teaching. You read the Buddha's teaching, and you're living in a country, maybe you're from India, but even if you're from India, you're living in a time far, far removed from the time of the Buddha. And here you have to interpret this and understand where the Buddha's coming from when he's giving this talk to people in India 2,500 years ago. So without some intermediary to explain it to you, obviously you can. Many people prefer this. They don't like institutions. They think institutions are by their very nature wrong, and that one should go directly to the source and only to the source. And then they try to interpret the Buddha's teachings directly and try to understand them by themselves, which certainly it's possible. But for the reasons mentioned, I think it's quite a bit more difficult. Anything to add?